hope. This is not the only time you will hear this evening. Merry Christmas. We'll say it probably in multitudes of times before we go home tonight. One of the things I want to say tonight, I know some of you have children with you, and we're so glad that they are here. It was wonderful to have them sitting here. Actually, I really liked the Humphrey. That's the third time I've read through it myself. So having ridden the camel in Tunisia, they can be contrary, but they are very unique to look at. With children tonight, if you give them a candle, would you please guard them carefully? Because I know our fire insurance is paid up, but we want to be absolutely careful about that. So just be careful. So tonight, I want to share with you just something I heard on the radio tonight that I hadn't given any thought to. The hymns that we have sung here this evening, are many of them are hundreds of years old, and we have chosen to go through the songs of Christmas. Tonight we're coming to Simeon's song, but let me share something about these hymns. There's incredible theology in them. As you were singing tonight, you literally were singing the redemption story. And what I heard on the radio tonight, it really grabbed my heart. North Koreans, they're very careful about when Christians come together to worship. Many times they don't even turn lights on or candles. And when they sing their hymns, listen to this carefully. There's nothing that comes from their mouth. They mouth the words because they're afraid. If someone hears them, they'll be turned in. Their life could be taken from them. They could be imprisoned. They mouth the words. We are a privileged nation. We are privileged. Guard your theology. Guard your heart as we go through the finality here tonight. We talk about Simeon's song. I do want to wish you a happy new year as well. I hope it's going to be prosperous and it's going to be a blessed time for you and for God's kingdom. So right away in 1 John 1:9, there's something I want you to see. God showed us how much he loved us by sending his one and only son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. As a pastor, this is not the song that I hear from people that are getting up in years. This is a song that I hear. I hear it often. It's not what I would call a good song. The moment I begin this song, you're going to understand my point. I won't have to explain it. This is what I hear. I'm too old to be of service for the Lord. I have difficulty walking. I can't drive anymore. What could I do? The people that are singing that particular song, they feel marginalized. And they also feel that they cannot be used by God. But I want to show you this evening, as we look into Scripture, Simeon is positive proof that God uses anyone who is submitted to the Lord. We are in Luke chapter 2, and I'm going to read a piece of scripture here this evening, verse 25. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel and the Holy Spirit upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ, the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. The parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him what the custom of the law required. Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed and a sword will pierce your own soul too." Simeon was a righteous man. We don't know much about Simeon other than what is here in Scripture right here. He comes on the scene and he leaves just as quickly as he arrived. Some scholars believe that he was a priest. Others believe that he was an educated layman. It's possible he was a retired priest, but listen to this. If he was a retired priest, he had to be over 50. We don't know his age. He could have been 80 years of age. Most assume that he was an old man. Luke 2, verse 25. We do know that Simeon was a godly, devout man who was waiting for the coming Messiah. Verses 26 and 27 tell us, it had been revealed to Simeon by the Holy Spirit he was not going to die until he had seen Jesus. Now, this is what's interesting. Directed by the Holy Spirit, he arrives at the temple just as Mary and Joseph are arriving. You see, this is part of God's master plan, bringing everything together. So they're bringing Jesus for circumcision. They're coming to make an offering after her days of purification. In verse 28, can you imagine this? Simeon picked up Jesus and he held him in his arms. He held God. And he said, "Sovereign Lord, I can die now. You can take me home. I can die in peace. You've promised me this. I've seen your salvation." Not only had he seen salvation, he had touched it. "You prepared this for all people. He is the light. Jesus is the light of the world." Take a look. Simeon's words. It says here, you're going to see this. "He is a light to reveal to the nation." It meant that Jesus is a light to the world. Jesus came to all 24,000 ethnic groups on our planet. Jesus is the glory of Israel. They were waiting for a king. They just didn't understand the right type of king that God was sending. God sent the right king. They were expecting an earthly king to reign. Then, this is what took place. Jesus is also salvation to the Gentiles. Simeon, I can't imagine holding God in my arms, overcome with emotion. He brings this prayer before the Lord. What did Simeon see? What did he see? He saw salvation. Salvation is a person, and that person is Jesus Christ in the form of a child. Joseph and Mary, just as I have read here, they were absolutely stunned by what was being said. They brought him to the temple. They were required to bring an offering, a goat or a lamb. But if they couldn't afford, they could substitute two turtle doves. That was the least of the offerings that you could bring. Well, that's all they could bring. And this was done. Jesus was brought into the poorest of the poor. And this was done so that Jesus could identify with all the people. Verses 34 and 35, it talks about that Simeon said that this is what's going to take place with your son, your child. He's going to be rejected. He's going to be a stumbling stone to some. He's going to be a great joy to others. And he's going to be a sword that's going to pierce your heart, Mary. And that's a reference to the crucifixion. We must keep in line. We look toward the baby at Christmas time, but we must keep in mind that Jesus was born to die for us. This is a reference to the crucifixion. I want to give you some characteristics that you can emulate. Simeon trusted the Lord. He trusted the Lord with all of his heart. He was earnest. He was sincere. He was a spiritual man. He loved the Lord. He read the Old Testament scriptures carefully. You see, that's all they had. And he was constantly looking forward to the day when the Messiah would come. He was full of the Holy Spirit because the Spirit directed him to the temple. And others recognize Simeon. They recognize it was not unusual for God to speak to him so that he could speak to others. Simeon understood the prophecies. 330. It's just incredible. 330 prophecies fulfilled with the birth of Jesus Christ. He knew that the Messiah would come to be the light to the world. not just Israel. And he was preparing Mary and Joseph for rejection, ridicule, and misunderstanding. Actually, when we come to this point in the message, this is really a good time for us to be thinking about making the decision to accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. It's all been laid out in the hymns and the carols that we have sung. In the scripture reading, Jesus has come to be a light. That's what Simeon said here. These are songs that were sung back in the Old Testament. These songs have deep meaning. This is a great time for you to come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Accepting Jesus Christ, believing he is the true Son of God, means that you will live forever in heaven, praising your Savior. So I want to give you an application of what we've talked about so far. We're nearly done. Trust God. Trust God to give you the opportunities so that you can be a blessing to others, especially brothers and sisters of the faith, but those in the world as well. Obey when God prompts you to be a blessing to others. Don't worry what people are going to say. Don't worry about what people are going to say. Don't worry if they're going to misunderstand you. Follow what God is saying. Trust God. Obey God. Don't worry if people misunderstand. Don't worry. And don't take it too deeply within you when they insult you and berate you, because they will. God can use anyone who submits to his will. Be thankful. Simeon thanked God for allowing him to live long enough to see the Messiah. Too many people, too many of us, even in this room, are not thankful for what they have in Jesus Christ. Well, the wait is over, verses 29 through 33. Simeon had spent his life waiting to see the Messiah. I want to give you just a few more lessons from Simeon. Everything we do needs to be according to the Word of God. If God's Word hasn't said it, you most likely shouldn't trust it. Verse 30, Simeon's ready to go to heaven. Question for you tonight. Would you be willing and are you able to depart in peace? This is a question that only you can answer. I have, through the years that I've been in ministry, I have been with many that have passed, and some have passed horribly, particularly those that don't know Jesus Christ. Are you able to depart in peace? We need to be ready to go at any time. This means you need to be at peace with God. Do you need to do some confessing to God tonight? This would be a great time to take care of those things that you've been putting off. Do you need to restore a relationship with someone? Don't put it off. Simeon saw the truth. He understood that Jesus had come not to deliver just the Jews, but the world. He knew and understood that Jesus had come for everyone, and that's the best news that we can have this Christmas. Most Jews thought the Messiah was coming just for them. Simeon said, no, no. Simeon looked forward to Jesus' first coming. Believers, those of you who know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we look forward to Jesus' second coming. The New Testament tells us over and over that we should eagerly wait and anxiously look for the blessed appearing of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Knowing this, that Jesus could come at any point in time, should cause us to live with right priorities in our life. You see, preachers like myself, every time we get the opportunity, we're going to tell you, take care of things today. Don't wait. Don't wait. It causes us to live, you see, when we live with Jesus on our mind, it causes us to live with eternity in focus. It causes us to do things that will matter for eternity. You know what, I break up fights with families that are feuding over this and that and money and cars and jewelry and brothers and sisters and aunts and uncles and grandpas and grammys, and you know the deal. You see, they're only thinking about today. They're only thinking about today, and their priorities are all messed up. We need to live for Jesus every day. If we eagerly look for Jesus' second coming, we'll do everything that we can to speed his coming. Now, some of us might not want Jesus to come, but you know what? I think it would be awesome if he came tonight. Man, I'd be waving goodbye to some. You see, God has said, the end is going to come. It's coming. But he says it's only going to come after the whole world has heard the gospel. 24,000 ethnic people. They say somewhere between 7,400 and 6,800 people groups still do not have the gospel. And yet the world is drifting further and further and further away from the Jesus who loves them. Waiting for Jesus should cause us to lovingly share Jesus with others. Just like Simeon in his waiting, we can become a witness for the Messiah. Simeon obeyed God's word. This little baby, Jesus, our Savior, which we adore, especially at this time of the year, is to be our focus year-round. There's a little chorus. You're going to see it on the screen here in just a second, and you'll know it. This little light of mine, and isn't it interesting we're going to light a little light here this evening? This little light of mine, and you see, what the chorus is talking about, there's theology in that little chorus. It says, this little light of mine, this light, my soul, my body, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Even when I'm being ridiculed and misunderstood, and mocked and berated and insulted. This little song is talking about your life. Let your life shine for Jesus. No matter what your age, whether Simeon was 50, 55, 80, 85, there's always something we can do for our Savior. Well, that's the end of Simeon's song. But I don't want to end without giving the opportunity for you to make a decision for Jesus. I know I'm speaking to people here today that know Jesus as their Savior. And if you're like me, you've had bad days when all of those thoughts that have been in the back of your mind that you thought were 30 or 40 years gone away from you, they roll forward and all of a sudden you want to roll them right out of your mouth. So I know I'm speaking to Christians who stumble and sometimes have weak moments. And I understand that I possibly am speaking to people that don't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. It's very simple. You make a decision. You believe that Jesus is the living Son of God, that he came for you, and that you are placing your faith, your entire faith, everything you have, your heart, you're giving it to him. Don't you like that chorus? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. My soul, my being, who I am, is going to magnify the Lord. It's what we've sung this evening. Let your life shine for Jesus. Would you join me in prayer, please? Gracious, loving Father, we come before you. We bow our hearts. We bow our heads and we thank you, we praise you, that we have this opportunity to gather here this evening and we can sing, we can sing boldly, Lord, because we love you. We don't have to mouth the words. Lord, we sing because we love you and we know that you love us. Father, I trust there was no guilt in the message here this evening. This message is about you, and it's about us putting our lives right with you. whether we don't know you or whether we do. And it's just that time when we just need to ask you, Lord, to straighten our thought life out and our walk, or we need to come to you and we need to know you in a personal way. Father, thank you. This is a wonderful privilege. This is the highlight of our year here, and it's one of the favorites of our church when we gather together. We're linked together through the blood of Jesus Christ. We're linked together through this little baby, and we thank you, Father. We ask you to minister to us in Jesus' name.